人岂不可悲？
Well, once again, you're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Pooh.
And tonight's a very special night, folks. You see, I'm not going to do the second part of the ADL thing. We'll do that tomorrow night. I hate to keep putting it off. But I had to pretend like everything was normal because, you see, tonight is Annie's birthday, and we had to give her a surprise party. And I wanted to do this show just for her, and I couldn't let her know about it. So if I've caused you any inconvenience by that, I apologize right up front. But tonight, Annie, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mommy. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Pooh. That was wonderful. Folks, I guess it's been about 7 years ago, I was the executive director of Coastal, our Pacific Coast Technical Institute, that is, in Anaheim, California. God, I get them confused every once in a while. Pacific Coast Technical Institute in Anaheim, California. I was the executive director, and I lost my secretary and was looking for another one. As the executive director of a school that belonged to a corporation which had several business colleges, I believed that we should hire our graduates, and that if we couldn't hire our graduates, that we shouldn't be in the business of training young people. So I instructed my office manager to contact our business colleges and find a recent graduate, who could type and take dictation and all these kinds of things, because I needed a secretary. And we found one at the, I forget which school it was, but they told me that they had a young woman who had just graduated. Her name was Annie, and she was Chinese and was very shy, but could type over 90 words per minute. And folks, I've never seen anybody that could type over 90 words per minute, and I was immediately very interested. She could take shorthand and all of the things that a good secretary is supposed to do. So I told them to send her over, and they made an appointment for her to come, and she didn't show up. I called back, and they said, well, they didn't know what happened, but they made another appointment and said that they would send her over, and again, she didn't show up. Well, having dealt with a lot of people from foreign countries, new in this country, I felt that I knew what was wrong. She was shy. She had just graduated from an American business college. She wasn't sure of her skills, even though they recommended her very, very highly, and she did have the skills. And so I called her myself. I asked the school to give me her number. I called her myself and told her with her skills she didn't have to worry about not being accepted or about being turned away because her race or point of origin or any of those things didn't matter to me. What mattered to me was her skill. Anyone that could type 90 words a minute. I wanted to see that. I really did. And I wanted a secretary that could type 90 words a minute. And I wanted somebody that could take shorthand, take dictation, and do all the really good things that secretaries are supposed to do. And above all, I wanted it to be one of our graduates. See, whatever I do, I really believe in it. And if I can't believe in it, then I don't want to do it. So I talked her into coming for an interview. She came for the interview. She's extremely shy. Annie's Chinese from Taiwan. Extremely shy. And very quiet and very well-mannered And she passed all the tests, and indeed she could type 90 words per minute, and she could do all those things, and so I hired her. And she was my secretary, and she went to work, and I went to work, and long time passed. And everything was going well, I thought, until one day she came into the office and said that she would like to talk to me, and I said, okay, sit down and close the door. And she told me she was going to quit. And I asked her why. And she said, you reward the people who work for you very well. And you've taken almost everybody who works here to dinner. You've given them bonuses. You've done things for them. But you've never even told me that you like my work. And I was crushed because she was right. And I had just overlooked it. You see, sometimes we overlook what is closest to us. She was my right hand, so to speak. She was doing all of my really sensitive work, things involving the corporate bureaucracy and vice presidents and the board of directors and all kinds of things that were very sensitive and had to be very accurate and done on time. And I expected her to be good, and she was, and so I took it for granted. And when she told me that, I felt very, very bad. I felt terrible, in fact, because she had stated it exactly 100% like it was. And so I told her to stay on, that she had misinterpreted and that I was wrong in what I had done. And so she did. And I asked her to go to dinner with me several nights later. We went to dinner, had a nice dinner except for the salad. They brought us a salad that had wilted and died. And except for that, it was a nice evening, and Annie felt very good, and I felt very good about it. And so afterwards, we went dancing. And this is about the way it went, folks. After that night, we were sort of inseparable, you might say. Now, nowadays, the feminist would say that I had committed some kind of a sexual attack on an employee, but that was not true. It's not the way it happened. In fact, I did not participate in that kind of thing. I rewarded my employees for their work, whether it was male, female, or the guard dog. It didn't matter if they did well. I took them to dinner, or I gave them $100 bill, or something. I always rewarded my people, and I still do that, and always will. And, of course, in this instance, I probably never would have done it if she hadn't come in the office and told me what she did. She was hurt because I had taken the other employees to dinner or had given them bonuses or something and had ignored her, not intentionally, but nevertheless, I had. And we have not parted since that night, really. We've been together ever since. And not long after that, I began to divulge some of the things that I had learned while I was a member of the Office of Naval Intelligence and through the research that I had done over the past 16 years, it was at that time. And Annie, never having heard about any of this stuff or known about any of it, was amazed, probably a little disbelieving, but extremely loyal and extremely loving. I remember making a speech to thousands of people in the Showboat Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was promoted by Billy Goodman in KVEG in Las Vegas. And people came from all over the United States just to hear what I had to say. And there was only one talk scheduled, but so many people showed up that they filled the entire ballroom of the Showboat Hotel twice, and I had to speak for 6 hours straight in a row. And then later that became my hallmark. Without changing audiences, I would speak for 6 hours, and because you can't touch this subject that I cover without taking a long time. It's not something that you can jump into real quick and get out of. And I didn't realize how this had affected Annie until after I had finished that 6 hours, and then I finished a panel, which was another hour or two. So after about 8 hours, I finally got to be with Annie for a few minutes, and she opened her purse. As people were crowding around me, she put her hand in her purse, and I saw that she was holding a 12-inch butcher knife in her purse. And so I immediately got rid of these people and got her up to the room. I said, "What are you doing? What is this knife?" And she said she was afraid for my safety, and she was carrying that knife in case anybody tried to hurt me or harm me. She was going to jump on them with this knife and cut them up and risk her life in the process. And that brought tears to my eyes. I had not realized the depth of her love and her loyalty. And I did not, until that point, understand how concerned she was for my safety in what I do. And I have to tell you, we'd received an awful lot of threats. A lot of threats. The phone would ring in the middle of the night, and some insane person would leave threats on the answering machine. And some of those same threats in the same voice turned up later on a tape which was supposedly attributed to me. And we would hear the phone ring, and either I or Annie would go to the phone, and nobody would be there. Strange people would knock on the door and pound on the door at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning. And I mean strange people, folks. Really, really crazy people. We also met an awful lot of really nice, wonderful people who came to help us. Many of them absolute strangers that we'd never known before in our life. And at the same time, not unexpectedly, many of our friends began to bail out. You see, it's not until you're up against the wall that you really know who your friends are. And I'm going to tell you right now, many of you say you have friends, and you talk about your friends, and you say, "Oh, that's my friend over there." I can assure you that most people I'm not speaking for everyone, but most people usually discover that when the chips are down, if they have one friend, they're very lucky. One friend that will stick through them no matter what, thick or thin, no matter what the accusations, no matter what the ridicule, no matter what the threats or the danger that's involved, that will stick with you, and everybody else will bail out. Many of you know what I'm talking about because you've been in those situations. Well, Annie has always stuck, never questioned, never even hinted at being anything other than 100% loyal and committed. And that's always really impressed me. You see, because it wasn't just wacko showing up at 2 or 3 in the morning and phone calls and threats and people hanging up and things like that. For a period of time, we actually had a United States government car parked right in front of our door with somebody sitting in that car 24 hours a day watching us and following us and all kinds of other things. So, she had a lot of reason not to stick around, but she did. And it's funny because when we got married, her father in Taiwan wrote me a letter. And he told me that she was extremely loyal. And I thought, oh yeah, that's what a father, his father's always going to say that, you know. But it's true. Not only is she loyal, but she's a good mother, a wonderful, wonderful mother to Pooh. And she does an awful lot of work. If you people only knew how hard she worked on your orders and your requests and your tapes and everything else, you might understand. But, you know, she has affected me in a way that I've never been affected by any woman at any time in my life. I love her dearly, and this has certainly happened to me. And you can tell I love Sam Cooke, and I really played that because that's one of Pooh's favorites. And sure enough, she ran in the studio and pulled on my shirt tails and said, "Poppy, I love you. That's my favorite song." Well, I don't know if it's her favorite song or not, but I know that she really does like it. Even when we were down in Phoenix and we were so badly treated at the motel from hell, the Embassy Suites is the motel from hell. You'll notice that right after that happened, they've been bombarding television with all these commercials, I guess, to try to overcome this bad press. We were gassed in our room. And Annie kept her cool. I couldn't believe it. She kept her cool. And I soaked towels, and Annie and Pooh sat on the bed and put towels over their face and breathed through the towels. And I just have to count my blessings, folks. I am a very, very lucky man to have a woman like this by my side. Not just by my side, but pushing me and pulling me and helping me and prodding and making things work and all kinds of things that you're not aware of and probably maybe never will be aware of. And that's hard to come by. Extremely hard to come by. Everybody, sooner or later, falls in love with somebody. But if you can fall in love with somebody who is as loyal, who's as hardworking, who hardly ever complains about anything, who buys into my philosophy, and my philosophy is simple, folks. We have one rule in our household. Just one. That's it. No more. And very basically, that rule is trust in God and just do it. No questions, no excuses. No complaining. And Pooh. Pooh, this is for you because you're turning out to be just like your mother. Extremely intelligent, extremely loyal, and a hard worker. she is, folks. She can read some. She can spell. She taught herself to write all the letters of the alphabet. And
when a star is born, it possesses a gift or two. And one of them is this.
And she certainly is becoming a star, and she possesses an awful lot of gifts. And she amazes me sometimes. She'll just come right out of the blue and say something that just blows me away. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing. And I know she gets a lot of this from her mother, an awful lot of it from her mother. And sometimes she picks up some things from me that she shouldn't be picking up. And then I have to spend time straightening that out. And just about every morning, we do her Hooked on Phonics. And I got to tell you, folks, if you've been wondering how to teach your child to read and write and count and do mathematics, you can't beat it. And they don't pay me anything. They don't even know I'm doing this. I'm telling you right now, it works. It works like a champ. And for those of you out there who think that you can't teach a young child to read and write, you're wrong. I mean, we didn't even teach her to write. She learned to write on her own. On her own. And she does it very well. If you think a child is too young to learn, you're wrong. You see, their brain is just waiting there. It's empty. It wants to be filled. A child lives in a constant state of discovery and wonder. And whatever you want to teach them, they will soak it up like a sponge, like a dry sponge in a pan of water. And all little children are basically the same, including Pooh. By the way, her real name is Dorothy Marie Cooper. Dorothy, because she truly is a gift from God. Marie, after my grandmother. And, of course, Cooper, because that's the way it is. And Annie picked Dorothy, I picked Marie, and Cooper sort of came with the territory. Children will learn whatever you're willing to teach them and whatever time you're willing to spend with them teaching them. The only difficulty that I've discovered is children have a short span of attention, so the lessons have to be short and frequent. So instead of spending an hour with something, we may spend only 15 or 20 minutes, and then maybe do it again later that day or the next day. But what they soak up and learn in that 15 or 20 minutes is incredible. And of course, as they get older, then you can expand that period of time. And she's always learning from Annie, and she learns from me, and she learns from her dog, Sugar Bear, and her little ferret baby. Now, I just wonder if I would be as successful as I have been, and if I would be sitting here at this microphone if it were not for Annie. You see, I don't think that I would be, and I don't think that most of the men who are successful in this country or in this world probably would be where they are at without the love and support and loyalty of a good woman. And I think that someone who doesn't have that is handicapped in an awful lot of ways. And I think the same holds true for successful women. Now, you don't hear much about Annie or from Annie, for that matter. Some of you have spoken to her because she's the one who handles all the money and orders and everything else. You see, I just hate money. I can't stand it. I don't even like to touch it. And so all the money that we make goes directly to Annie. It just bypasses me completely. And not because she wants it that way. It's because I want it that way. I'd rather have it that way. And everything's in her name, so that if anything ever happens to me, She won't have any problems whatsoever. And that's also the way that I prefer to have it, because I don't want to ever worry about her. And we have prepared for the future like I warn you to do. And if you'll bear with me for just a second, I'm going to turn this tape over so I don't have to go to any music or... Here we go. And he gets up early every morning. And because I stay up very late every night, very seldom do I get to bed before 3 a.m. Annie gets up early, and she goes to work on your orders, and reproducing tapes, and filling orders, and ordering books, and packing books, and wrapping books, and wrapping tapes. And she does this all day, and she deals with UPS, and she deals with phone calls and complaints, and solves problems, and checks food storage orders and everything. And she does a remarkable job. Very seldom does anything get lost or misplaced. Sometimes it does happen. And when it happens, she gets it squared away and back on track real quick. Sometimes we bump up against somebody that's just not playing with a full deck of cards. For instance, recently someone wanted to join the intelligence service and send a money order for $100. And we began to process the membership, and lo and behold, about 15 days later, this money order comes back. It bounced. Now, I've never heard of in my life a money order bouncing, but this one bounced. And I figured there must be some mistake, so we put it up on the dresser and tried to backtrack through the bank, because I just didn't believe that a money order could bounce. But right on the front it said, lost or stolen, return. So this had been a lost or stolen money order that somebody had either been the one who had found it after it was lost, or had stolen it, or had purchased it from somebody who had stolen it or something. We didn't know what happened. And then we got a call from that person, wanted to know what the status was in the membership. And I tried to explain to him what happened, and the person was just absolutely unreasonable. Gave us a hard time about this. But still wanted to become a member, so I said, well, in light of this, if you're going to become a member, you're going to have to send cash. Oh, boy, it's like I'd committed a crime or something. This person had given us a money order that bounced, was lost or stolen, and gave us a hard time as if we were some kind of criminals. We told them we didn't want them as a member, and in lieu of the problems that we had, we're sending the money order to the local law enforcement officials in the state where this person lives. And we don't like to do that. We tried to be very nice, and Annie is always very nice and pleasant with everybody. As everyone who's ever called her has discovered, she spends a lot of time with you on the phone and running up and down stairs and locating your order and getting it all straightened out. And occasionally she has to put up with things like this, and so do I. But it's very rare. You see, in the years that we've been working with people like you, good people like you, I think we've had maybe 4 checks that bounced in all these years, which is unheard of. Ask anybody who deals with the public, and they'll tell you that is unheard of, extremely rare. And that's because people who are usually interested in what we do aren't the kind of people who would write a bum check or steal money. Or I still think that there was some mistake involving that money order. I really don't believe that those people stole that money order or had anything to do with that. I just can't believe it. I don't believe that anybody who would do anything like that would even want to be a member of the intelligence service. And that's why we tried to work that out. But do you realize how good you people have to be for all the years that we've been involved in dealing with you to have only 4 checks bounce and 1 money order come back? And I've never heard of a money order coming back in my life, and I still think that there's some terrible mistake involved there. Whatever it is, but we'll let the proper people deal with that and figure it out. But the point is, Annie does this every day. Now, not just Monday through Friday, folks. I mean, we close the research center every Monday and Tuesday. So if you call them Monday and Tuesday and nobody answers, that's why. Monday and Tuesdays, the research center is closed. But just because the research center is closed doesn't mean we're not working. We are. Annie works literally 7 days a week. Not because she has to. Not because I tell her to. But because she's concerned about your orders. And so she works literally 7 days a week. And I have to literally go in and make her stop so that she can have some time off. Otherwise, she just won't do it. So you owe her an awful lot if you've ordered anything from us. And not only does she work 7 days a week, but she gets up early in the morning. She'll work until UPS comes, which is shortly after 2. And then about every other day, she'll make a run to Sholo, which is an hour drive there, and an hour drive back to get the mail and take care of business in Sholo. And many times after I do this radio program, I finish here at 11. By the time I'm finished taking phone calls after the show is over, it's somewhere near midnight. And by the time I get home, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning. And when I get home, almost every time that I get home, Annie is still working, filling your orders. She is truly a wonderful woman. She is, she's hard to beat. I've never met or known anyone like her in my life. I love her dearly. I respect her. I care about her. And I know that, you know, in the beginning you always wonder, you don't really know. Well, I know, folks. I know that this woman will be with me through thick or thin, no matter what. She'll be filling your orders when the orders need to be filled, no matter what time it is, no matter what day it is, no matter how tired she is. She will still find time to teach Pooh and take care of her and minister to her needs and the dog and the ferret and me and take care of the house. I really, truly don't know how she does it. And she doesn't have to do any of this because nobody makes her, nobody tells her. We just have a philosophy, and it's a mutual philosophy. Believe in God and just do it. Whatever needs to be done, trust in God and just do it. And that's how we live our lives. So, that's the way that everything around here goes. And folks, you don't see it, but I see it. I have seen her hovering in the background when people crowd around me after a lecture, knowing that she was concerned for my safety, knowing that we'd have threats against my life. In the beginning, she used to carry a 12-inch butcher knife. I made her stop that. But she's there anyway. And she's ready to pounce on anybody that even looks funny at me, I guarantee you. And there's nothing I can do to stop her. And I can't make her stay away. She's loyal to a fault. She's probably the best mother that I've ever seen. And she works harder than anybody that I know. And she doesn't even have to. She's one of the few people that doesn't need a boss. And that's extremely rare if you've ever been a boss. You know that. And so Annie, without you, I probably would never have reached anywhere near the position that I've reached, nor the success that I've obtained through the perseverance that you have instilled in me. And because of that, very few people know anything about you. They think that I'm some kind of a hero. But my dearest, darling wife, you are the hero, and you are certainly my hero.
Has the power to make a wish come true.
And if I had the power to make a wish come true, I would give you anything in this world that your heart desired. The only problem is, folks, is whenever I ask her what her heart desires, she doesn't ever want anything. When I tell her, ask her what she needs, she never needs anything. If I try to buy her a gift for Christmas, I never know what to get her because she never asks for anything. And she is my hero.
Thank you.
You know, when I want to do something like that, I hate to have to play a song sung by somebody else, but folks, I don't sing very well. I wished I did, or I would have sung that to Annie myself. But I don't want to break anybody's eardrums or drive you all away from your radio, so I play the recording. Well, folks, Annie's sitting right here, and I know a lot of you know her, especially those of you who are at the convention. And she sat at that table 16 hours a day taking care of everybody. So let's go to the phones. The number is 602-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. It's Mike Eisen calling. How are you tonight?
Hi.
Good. I missed you on WWCR, so I thought I'd call in and see if you were okay.
I'm on WWCR right this moment as we speak.
Oh, how wonderful. Good. Okay, well...
So you haven't been listening to the program.
Well, I got home. I was with some friends in Palm Desert, so...
Yeah, we're 5.065.
Oh, great. Okay, well, I'll see if I can raise you.
Great.
Thank you much.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye.
That's 602-337-2524 if you'd like to call in and wish Annie a happy birthday or talk about something else. That's okay, too. But I had to say what I had to say, and you see, folks, I'm a hopeless romantic at heart, really, and that's why I do this. I'm... in love with my wife, in love with my daughter, in love with my friends, in love with my country, in love with the ideals and principles that I believe in, my community. And I think that that's necessary in order to have a good world. And so I try to fulfill all of those roles. I guess earlier today, Pooh and I were shopping, and Pooh picked out a lot of the gifts for Annie. See, we didn't, there's not a big shopping center around where we live, so we hadn't been to town for a while, Pooh and I. So we went shopping together today to... What?
He left and his satellite's dead, and shortwave's only playing music.
When the hell did that happen?
Right at the break. Half an hour. No, it's been just about 16 minutes.
Oh, shit. Hello?
Hi, Bill. It's Mike Eisen again.
Hi.
Hi. You may think you're on WWE.
I know. I just found out. We're not on the air now.
You're not reaching the satellite.
Yeah. Well, we were, but we're not now.
Oh, brother. What is it? Those crumbs on the satellite don't give you access or something?
Well, I have no idea. We started out on the satellite.
Oh.
So somebody bumped us off somehow.
Well, geez.
That's all I can say.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're okay. How are things going in Phoenix? Everything getting squared away there?
Yeah.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Okay, I'll look forward to seeing you on the radio soon.
Okay.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Well.
I tried calling both numbers. You were off the air about 4 minutes.
Well, I guess that's the end of that. Good night, folks. And God bless you all. Take it. hold on to.
Get your plane to Hollywood and ride away your best buddy.